comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome back, one and all, to the Nerd Dome. Nerds United, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko here for episode number 54. And this is, I guess we're calling it old school. Going back to recording on the old iPhone and the voice memo feature. Until I can get the kinks worked out on the recording rig in the other room. Yeah, this is just me talking into my phone with nobody actually live on the other end, so it's not too weird at all. No, not at all. So let's get right into things, have a list of some topics to go over, some things to discuss. It's not going to be a real long episode this time, partially because it's almost 10 o'clock and I've been up since 4:30 in the morning, and partially because without a guest, as you all know, a lot of times these shows just don't last as long. So we're going to zip through these possibly as fast as we can, but we'll try to be thorough, I guess, in our coverage this time around. I want to bring up a movie that I personally didn't have a problem with, but I know that plenty of people did. They still talk about it. Man of Steel, particularly the ending. I remember sitting there in the theater with my wife, and spoilers. We're going to have some spoilers throughout this episode, so bouncing around. So hopefully you're caught up. That's about all I can say. Again, spoilers. The climactic scene, the battle between Superman and General Zod, and yes, Superman breaks the neck of General Zod, killing, essentially. We're supposed to see Michael Shannon, who played Zod in this upcoming Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, in some capacity with or without webbed hands, I don't know, or flipper hands, I think is what it was. But anyway, for all intents and purposes, as we are right now, Zod is dead at the hands of Superman. And that so many people just did not like that, saying, you know what, that's Superman doesn't kill. Heroes traditionally do not kill. The writer of Man of Steel, David S. Goyer, has gone on record to discuss publicly the decision to have Superman kill. And as I read this quote, this excerpt that he shared with Nerdist, and he says, it brings up Chris Nolan. He says, essentially, and this is a direct quote, that exists entirely separately from the from what fans should or shouldn't think of the character. You have to do a try for the story. In that instance, this was Superman who had only been Superman for like a week. He wasn't Superman as we think of him in the DC comics or even in a world that conceived of Superman existing. He'd only flown for the first time a few days before. He'd never fought anyone that had superpowers before. So he's going up against a guy who's not only superpowered, but has been training since birth to use those powers, who exists as a superhuman killing machine, who has stated, I will never stop until I destroy all of humanity. So going on and on, essentially trying to justify the use of lethal force in this case. And I really don't have a problem with that explanation, with the exception that, as he talked about Zod, he said he's going up against a guy who's not only superpowered but has been training since birth to use those superpowers, which we know that's not entirely accurate, and I do expect a little bit more from David Goyer, because they did not have these powers on Krypton. As we know, it was, you know, the radiation from Earth's yellow sun that allowed these Kryptonian men and women to gain powers. As you know, they realized only after, you know, having the face shield crack that they could gain these powers. So, yeah, that's the only part of it that I didn't like. But again, at the same, you know, it's, as he goes on to say, if you take Superman out of it, what's the right way to tell that story? He says, I think the right way to tell that story is if you take this powered alien who says you can have your race back, but you have to kill your adopted race. The moral, horrible situation to be in is actually to be forced to kill, not wanting to, the only other person from your race. Take Superman aside. I think that's the right way to tell that story. So, a nice explanation. And again, like I said, I didn't have a problem with the way Man of Steel ended. I do remember sitting in shock, just leaning forward with my jaw on the floor saying, did I just see what I just saw? But what are you going to do? You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, fly him to the moon and have your battle there, possibly. But what are you going to do? You can't just, you know, you've got to contain him. And then it looks like there was only one way to contain Zod in that instance. And that was fatally. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the future holds as this story continues to unfold. Like I said, Batman v Superman comes out at the end of March. We're getting pretty close to that. So, looking forward to that movie and all the other movies that we have coming up. It's going to be a good next few months because Hunger Games comes out later this month. Of course, there's a little movie called Star Wars coming out in December. Maybe you've heard of that one. And next year we get a whole new slate. I think Deadpool kicks it off in February, Man of Steel, Captain America Civil War, and the list goes on and on. So let's talk about Star Wars, shall we? I'm sure by now if you're listening to this podcast, you have seen the Star Wars, the last Star Wars trailer, the one that they aired just a couple weeks back now during Monday Night Football, which, let's face it, if you want to get non-sports inclined individuals who appreciate this geeky, nerdy culture to watch Monday Night Football, you better put a Star Wars trailer in there. That's probably, they got to, you know, see maybe a little bit of football. Maybe they tuned in just moments before and they got to sit through Chris Bierman like the rest of America and say, why is this guy on television? I'm kidding. Boomer. He's a heck of a guy, that Bierman. Anyway, the Star Wars trailer I thought was fantastic. We get, I think the pivotal lines for that, you know, trailer come from Han Solo when he says, it was all real. The dark side, the Jedi, all of it. So, and of course, some memes have already hit the internet about that. Greedo shooting first? No. Han still shot first. I don't care what anybody says. But I also like the character that John Boyega plays, the, you know, I guess, reformed, if you want to call it that, stormtrooper. He says, you know, I've been training for this my whole life, but I don't have anything to fight for. And so I think that's going to be a very interesting character development as well. Definitely looking forward to Star Wars The Force Awakens. Immediately after that trailer aired, you could pre-order your tickets for the movie. And I got my tickets, but in the process of me and seems like millions of others, a little thing called the internet crashed. Fandango was down, which is where I go to get my, you know, movies ahead of time. And I can't tell you the last movie that I had to be very confident that nobody else would be in the theater for this movie. But when I saw Jurassic World, got tickets in advance, you know, just, it's one of those things that I do. I just want to make sure. I'm a planner. By gosh, I'm a planner. And it's just one of those things I like knowing for sure that my butt's got a seat, if that makes any sense. But, so yeah, I got my tickets. I will be checking it out, the 7 o'clock show in Mount Vernon on the night it debuts, I guess, if you want to call it that, December 17th. It's a Thursday. If you are if you're in the Mount Vernon area and you want to come check out the movie with me, Greg Mahochko, it's the traditional non-3D version, and we're going to have a good time. I might even take off a little bit early. When the last time a Star Wars movie was in theaters, and I'm not talking about the animated Clone Wars, but Revenge of the Sith, that was a midnight showing. I was still up in Nebraska at the time, and people were very excited for that, despite the fact that, you know, overall that the prequel trilogy has sort of been panned. People were pretty excited for that, even in this little, you know, town, a little college town, but a little town nonetheless. And they had the midnight showing, which was, I think, the first midnight showing I ever attended. And they had, you know, door prizes, things like that. But it was June, I believe, and they had in this town. I mean, they got power outlets right there on the exteriors of buildings. It was in the downtown part. I mean, it was just a couple buildings down from City Hall. So people had TVs, and they were showing, like, Attack of the Clones and things like that. Just a fun atmosphere for Revenge of the Sith. Holy cow, Force Awakens just looks, first of all, it's looks practical. And by that I mean a lot less CGI, green screen, blue screen, whatever color the screens are these days. They built the Millennium Falcon. They have built massive sets and things like that to make this movie practical. And I think it's going to lend to the overall success, the overall authenticity, authentic feel, authenticity of the film. So very excited, like I said, for Star Wars The Force Awakens. Let's talk a little bit more about some, I guess, screen adaptations. Let's start with The Walking Dead, because they are 4 episodes in now as of the recording of this. We just had the 90-minute Morgan episode earlier this week, this past weekend. But the biggest surprise of all, and again, spoiler, the biggest surprise of all is the uncertainty of Glenn's future, because Nicholas shot himself in the head and tumbled to the ground, taking Glenn with him. This was in episode 3 of this current season, season 6. By the way, Walking Dead's already been picked up for season 7. Logical decision there. I think there's still a lot of story to be told. But Nicholas shoots himself in the head, falls to the ground, taking Glenn with him. Glenn's on the bottom, and just all you see is Glenn screaming with entrails being pulled and zombies around having themselves a little smorgasbord. I looked at my wife and I said, did that just happen? Glenn was one of the last remnants of season 1. I mean, now we got Morgan back, but Rick and Carol, and I don't think anybody else is from season 1, I think, you know, most of them have died off by now. But I hope, if you watch The Talking Dead, you know, they always have the in memoriam, and they didn't show Glenn. They showed everybody else who died that episode, and then they said, say it's not so, or say it isn't true, or something like that. They said that on the screen leading up, but they have yet to show that Glenn is dead on The Walking Dead. So I am hopeful. Another thing about The Walking Dead, and I've noticed this, is you are either a zombie, or excuse me, a walker, because they don't use the Z word, a walker or walker food. I mean, the one exception is what we learned, or what we saw this past week, when Morgan strangled that young kid. Not young kid, but the 20-something-year-old strangled him around his little shelter, his little barrier there, and the guy comes back and bit, what is his name? Eastman. Yeah, bit Eastman, and that, of course, led to Eastman's death, but he didn't get shot in the head. Morgan didn't take the time to actually kill him. He just, he strangled him and killed him, and then he just ran off. But you don't see anybody survive long enough to be bit and then change. You know, they know the world that they live in. They know that once you're bit, you're pretty much that's pretty much it, and so you're done. And they put you out of your misery and their potential misery, or you do so yourself. Like I said, you just don't see anybody get bit and then, you know, transform into a walker. So something that I've noticed here as I watch Walking Dead. Another one that I've been watched it last season and enjoyed it at the beginning, but kind of kept watching it, but lost a little bit of interest as it went on, was Gotham. The last couple episodes of the first season of Gotham kind of brought me back into interest, and I just plumb forgot when it started up, so I actually started it up about 3 weeks late. Thank goodness that for whatever reason, DVR caught my folly, and I am one episode behind now on Gotham. The one episode that I have not watched is this most recent episode, but that's, again, another show that is I think finding its stride here in its second season. Some shows get there a little bit quicker. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Gotham, I'm enjoying. They went out very early on and eliminated what I think everybody thought was the popular pick to be the Joker, the young man from the circus who had the red hair and the cackle and the big old toothy grin. He dead. He ain't coming back, I don't think. But they've also really made some strides in, I think, Penguin's character, and particularly the Riddler, Edward Nygma, because the most recent episode that I watched, which I think was episode 4 of the season, but I'm not 100% sure, Edward Nygma told his girlfriend, he finally convinced her to, you know, go out, and she said yes, or finally got up the courage to ask her out, and she said yes, and they were going along there, was Miss Kringle, from the police department, and, she was concerned about this, you know, former love interest or whatever coming back, and Nygma says, well, you don't have to worry about him, because I killed him, and, you know, obviously, that look of concern and fear on her face. She said, what? And she became very concerned. And he said, well, it's okay because you didn't like him. He was abusing you or assaulting you or harassing you or whatever the situation was there. And, you know, that panic, that terror, and she didn't like hearing that. And he tried comforting her and telling her it was going to be okay, but in doing so had his hand wrapped around her neck, and then he killed her accidentally. While he was trying to comfort her, accidentally strangled her, and then killed her, and then you see him, you know, screaming. That, I think, was the tipping point. That's where we lose Edward Nygma, and that's where we start to see, we're going to start to see more and more of the Riddler come out. And what, I caught a report earlier this week that the, you know, famous green suit of the Riddler is going to be making an appearance, and they said soon. I don't know exactly when, but they did say soon, so I'm pretty pumped for that. I got a buddy of mine who's a huge Riddler mark, and just, you know, I'll be looking forward to the opportunity to send him that picture and say, dude, are you watching Gotham? If not, you need to. So Gotham on Monday nights on Fox. Check it out. It's got a little bit of, and I don't quite think it's actually in the same time slot, but a little bit of Monday night, what's the word I'm looking for? Competition over on CBS, where they are two episodes now into Supergirl. Not only that, but Supergirl had the highest, I think, rated debut for, you know, the fall season, something like that. So that I did watch the first episode, and so I'm, again, behind an episode on that one. I understand that ratings dipped just a little bit. I know that for the premiere last week, they were coming in right out of Big Bang Theory and brought a lot of that audience over with them. Big Bang Theory, I understand, did not air this past Monday night, so they didn't get that carryover audience. But Supergirl, the first episode was perfectly fine. I have no problem with it. They told a good story. I like the fact that they brought in Hank Henshaw. He was, at least, the character that I know became Cyborg Superman. So he's in a military, not, I don't say military, paramilitary, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of task force, strike team, something like that to help control, you know, to help protect the country or possibly even the globe from visitors from other planets. And there's a little exposition in that series about the forming of that organization who, Melissa Benoist, who plays Kara Zor-El, her Kara Danvers, her adopted sister is on this task force, and you find out that she was only brought onto the task force because of who her sister is, and that's the fact that her sister is an alien. But they, I like the additions. I like the fact that they're kind of pulling from the Superman lore, and they brought over Jimmy Olsen. He's an older Jimmy Olsen. You got to understand that as of this show going on now, Supergirl, Superman has been in action in Metropolis for a number of years, maybe close to 20 years. I don't know if it's quite that many, but has become friends with Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen knows the secret and now knows who, you know, Kara is, or who Supergirl is, the secret identity. Just was able to, you know, figure it out based on mannerisms and things like that. So if you get a chance, click over to Supergirl or DVR at TiVo it, if TiVo's still a thing, and give that one a try, because I don't think that you'll be disappointed. Always, maybe not always, often, frequently, I drink when I record Nerds United, and episode 54, no different. So a shout out to my beverage of choice this time around, and that would be Ocean Spray Cran Raspberry. Just a nice tart flavor of a juice, of a beverage, because the beer was way down there on the bottom of the fridge, and I was lazy. The juice is at shoulder height. Just seemed to make more sense that way. Anyway, moving on. See, we've talked about three of the five shows I've got to discuss here. Let's go to The Flash. Airs on Tuesday nights, and there are a few episodes into their second season. And I gotta say, they're already making some deep, deep cuts. I did not anticipate King Shark would ever make an appearance on one of these network hero shows. But sure enough, pretty early on in the season, I think it was episode 2 last week, we got our first glimpse at King Shark. And yeah, largely CGI, obviously. I mean, it's a man shark, but still, it's just an incredible notion that King Shark has made it. I like the opening, the season premiere, because it featured, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, as you know. It's why I get along with Kevin Hunsberger, the host of my 1-2-3 cents, so well, because we're both kind of wrestling fans. And I guess the nice thing about that first episode was that the metahuman that came over that was causing trouble was Adam Smasher, and that was played by Adam Edge Copeland. Edge from he's a WWE Hall of Famer, multiple time tag team champion, world heavyweight champion, things like that, and just one of those kind of guys who you just want to root for. His in-ring career was shortened with a neck injury, but he's been able to turn that into a positive and become a modestly successful actor. He's been on the show Haven on Sci-Fi. I think it was started as a cameo role and then became a recurring role, so he earned it that spot. But so seeing Adam Smasher was quite a treat. Zoom is another one that we're gonna see and learn more about. It's kind of funny because you get Harrison Wells back right after it seems the emotional departure of that character at the end of season one of The Flash. So we get him back. Dr. Light was in this most recent episode. Ooh, that juice is just giving me the burps. Sorry. But Dr. Light, and I like the I guess the strategy behind the creative writing team is that they're coming over from Earth 2, these villains who are sent over by Zoom, and essentially they're killing their Earth 1 counterpart. And it's worked for some, hasn't worked for all, as we've saw. But just, you know, good writing, fun stories, and continuing to expect big things out of Flash. And I guess that was the problem with the Flash, is that after that first season, I think they raised the bar so high that it had almost unattainable levels. But I think they're right there. They're hitting their mark again. Arrow just had its new episode tonight. And it was the episode that I've been waiting for, because it was the return to television of John Constantine. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know how much I raved on the show Constantine. A lot of people crapped on it, and they said it, you know, departed too far from the source material, and, you know, just little things like, well, he wasn't smoking, so it can't be John Constantine if he's not smoking. And I continue to say, keep watching those episodes, because later on in the season, in the only season of NBC, he did start lighting up cigarettes. Honestly, it's not one of those things that I even focused on tonight watching the episode, his appearance on Arrow. I don't remember if he smoked or not, but it was good to see Matt Ryan back. I really think that Matt Ryan's a phenomenal choice, or was a phenomenal choice, to play John Constantine. So a good episode there, and I like that they are bringing back some characters who you would have otherwise thought dead. That tricky old Lazarus Pit, I tell you. But it all leads to, and we're finding out, between Arrow and the Flash, of course, you know that they're leading towards another series called Legends of Tomorrow, and that will take characters from both shows. Firestorm, I believe the Canary is going to be on there, the OG Canary, not the Black Canary, played by Laura Lance, but be Sarah Lance going in and reprising her role. And as we saw in the teaser clip for next week's episode, yes, Ray Palmer, the Atom, still alive, and he was supposed to be on that Legends of Tomorrow series as well. That will be coming out. If I had to guess, I'd say they're going to bring them all back or all together for something in the mid-season winter break. So in that mid-December to February time. Or maybe they'll bring him back as an entire series. Not 100% sure there, but still enjoying what I'm seeing from all of these shows. And look, we went from a few years back, Smallville was it. And now we've got five shows, another one on the way in Legends of Tomorrow, Preacher's coming to AMC. And I don't think that's all. I think I'm missing some, because I have a bad memory. But those are just some of what we have to look forward to. So a lot of good things are happening. Very excited for the future of this culture as it continues to grow, and the fan base continues to grow and become even more, I guess, fervent, hungry, large appetite. I don't know how you want to put it. But anyway, let's move on. Because we're running out of time, but you can only listen to me babble for so long, and you're probably getting tired of it. So, moving on to 18 Days. Came across this actually just today in, what was it? I think it was one of those links that had all of the covers of all the issues that were available. So anyway, 18 Days, it's by Grant Morrison, and you have to go back a few years, because they actually initially had, and you can buy something for $13, $17, something like that. You can buy Grant Morrison's 18 Days on Amazon. It's more of like a pitch book. It's got some beautiful artwork in it, but it doesn't have much in the story. The story that they're wanting to tell is a mythic story known by over a billion people, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but it is the Mahabharata, and it is It is the climactic war that concludes the Age of the Gods and begins the Age of Man. 18 Days is a reimagining of that great myth, and it is by Grant Morrison, but he has some help, as you would imagine, with the art, and I'm trying to find the art. Seriously, the art is worth it just by itself. I can't stress that enough. If you ever just do a Google search for 18 Days or Grant Morrison's 18 Days, and unfortunately this link that I have here is not showing me the name of the artist. I feel bad about that. But it is through Graphic India. That's the publisher. The book reveals the inner workings of the acclaimed, or as they talk about the pitch book, the book reveals the inner workings of the acclaimed writer's process, features the original animation scripts, story Bibles, character descriptions, and commentaries. Again, that is for just the what you can buy now. It's a hardcover book. If you buy it, you know, in the physical copy, I think you can get the electronic version as well. But they are in now to printing the actual story. They finally got around to making the story, and I believe issue 5 is available. But it, look it up if you happen to get into your local comic book shop. Just like I said, the art is sweeping. It is some gorgeous art. I can't really describe it except when I look at it, and this might be a deep cut. I got to go back to the Xbox for whatever reason. The original Xbox, not the 360 or anything fancy like that. I believe there was a game on the Xbox called Shadows of the Colossus. And in that game, I remember riding a horse quite a bit and going to around the realm. And you have to take down these colossuses. Not sure about that. But you had to essentially disengage them, and had that ethereal type of feel to it. And that's kind of what I get when I see this artwork. This artwork is it's a mythical story, but it's told with future technology and weaponry and ships and things like that. So again, pretty cool. If you're into that kind of stuff, you might want to look for 18 Days. And as we get close to wrapping things up for episode 54 of Nerds United, just a couple more things to go over. This one is actually a follow-up to, well, it's a one-sided follow-up. I never really got a response, but months back, at least the summer, if not into last spring, I went to DC Comics website, which I believe should be just dccomics.com, and, you know, you can leave feedback or you know, contact or something like that. And I just wrote them a little note saying, I wish that your app, your DC Comics app for mobile devices had a way that I could scan a code that's on my physical copy that I bought at my brick and mortar shop and give me the digital version of that. I know it's a stretch. They're not going to go for that because if they can get you to buy it twice, then you'll buy it twice. That would be essentially the goal, because I'm so far behind on my reading, it's not even funny, and I feel like putting it in the digital format might be the only way that I could ever get caught up. But so DC Comics, if you're listening, like I said, make it to where I can scan a code, the barcode on my book, and be able to read on your app. Coming down the home stretch, we're going to continue our ongoing series of regrettable superheroes and the readers who regret them. That's right. Going back to the book by John Morris, The League of Regrettable Superheroes. And for this one, we're going all the way back to 1943. Nightmare and Sleepy. Not making it up. The catch line, you're going to love this, is, first you get sleepy, see? Then you get a nightmare. And they are created by Alan Mandel and Dan Barry for Clue Comics, number one, Hillman Periodicals, and debuted January 1943. The day job of these two was wrestling. So this is really right up Kevin Hunsberger's alley. this is what it says about, and this is straight from the book. I'm quoting because I'm tired. It says, "You might think that the life of an itinerant professional wrestler would be sufficiently exciting for any individual, traveling from town to town, testing your strength and skill in the squared circle, competing for honors and prizes awarded only to the greatest in the sport." Of course, that wouldn't actually be how it would go. "For a career grappler Bob White and his teenage manager Terry Wake, however, wrestling is only the prologue to adventure, because outside the ring they are, in secret, the outlandish costumed hero's Nightmare and his sidekick Sleepy." Can't make that one up. Nightmare looks like he is a giant skeleton. And by that I mean giant. I mean, he looks bones, except where the black would traditionally be, you know, on a skeleton costume, it's all white with some outlined bones there. And Sleepy wears a white gimmick with some red gloves, a little red hood and cape, and a skull and crossbones on his chest. That skeleton costume was doused or covered in phosphorescent paint, so glowed just a little bit, and that was Nightmare, the symbol of terror to an assembly of weird and often seemingly supernatural foes, oddly enough, such as the Undertaker. So it's a little weird that an individual whose day job was a pro wrestler and whose secret life consisted of getting in a different costume and being a hero, and one of the foes was the Undertaker, who, as we all know, is a superhero with, or not a superhero, a pro wrestler with supernatural abilities. That, of course, is obvious. It does say here that in their brief existence, the two did lighten their tone just a little bit, and Nightmare dropped the skeleton suit for a more traditional spandex superhero uniform and had an N with a circle on it, and of course for Nightmare. So, again, these were Nightmare and Sleepy, created by Alan Mandel and Dan Barry for Clue Comics number 1. Wrestlers becoming superheroes. It's just crazy. I actually saw a post on one of those Facebook threads. It was about a pro wrestler, but it was one of the comic book threads. It said, well, what does, you know, pro wrestling and comic books, what do they have in common, or what do they have to do with one another? And aside from the fact that we've mentioned before, they kind of draw from similar demographics largely, the WWE on more than one occasion has had its own comic book published, so yeah, they're plenty in common. Couple other things that we have to get to, and then I promise I'm going to get out of here. Upcoming guests, we have I know for sure of one that's slated to come, and hopefully two. Rob Connery is a self-proclaimed geek or nerd, and put out an interesting theory a week or so back about Star Wars: The Force Awakens. So before that movie hits, I'm going to have him on the show. I've been talking with him a little bit here and there on Twitter. It's just a matter of the logistics, and again, hoping that my audio equipment will work properly, because it's a matter of pride for me, and potential guests, you know, heed this when I say it. I really want the best audio quality possible, and if I can't have that, I will forego the recording. It's aggravating to me, probably more so than anybody else, but it is what it is, and it's just, like I said, it's just a matter of pride and me wanting to sound professional. I haven't sounded professional in the last couple of episodes from the audio quality standpoint, and it does bug me. So as soon as I can get the bugs ironed out, it will either be a home recording with Rob, or I'll go up to the radio station of my previous employee and record up there. But we'll get him on the show here soon. He seemed pretty excited to be on the show. Also, as we talk about upcoming shows, we have the second annual Comics for Beginners episode that will be right at the beginning of 2016, assuming that, you know, the only way that won't happen is if my child arrives early and I'm otherwise preoccupied, which I know you all will be very understanding if that were the case. But otherwise, look for that, which means I need your questions, and be on the lookout for the Facebook page for a place to submit your questions. Or if you just want to submit it via email, you can do that, nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. This time around, a little added incentive. You send in the questions, and which I actually think I did this last year as well, now that I think about it. I don't know, but I've got stuff that I've got to move on out and make some room for other stuff. So I've got giveaways. Essentially, I've got enough, I think, that unless I have 40 questions, which I doubt I'm going to have 40 questions, but submit a question and you're going to get something. It's just that simple. I don't know what it'll be yet, but I've got action figures. I've got some signed stuff. I've got T-shirts. We've got you covered. So that is my challenge to you. And again, if you have a question that you just want to, you can put it as a question on the Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdsunitedshow. You can tweet it at nerdsunitedshow, or again, email and that send that to nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. So that is, again, it's the Christmas season. I've got to try to make one contact. Shooting for the moon for my very special Christmas, my third annual very special Christmas special, shooting for the moon on a guest that I want to join me. I'll keep you posted on that. And one more thing before I get out of here, I appreciate any support that you can give. I appreciate you listening, hitting that download button. Go to iTunes and leave a review so that maybe more people will see this show in their searches and grow this community just a little bit. If you use Amazon, I encourage you to head over to jitterymonkey.com/nerdsunitedpodcast, and or is it Nerds United Show? I can't remember. Damn it. I got such a bad memory. But anyway, the Nerds United drop-down tab, the Nerds United page at jitterymonkey.com. Scroll on down to the Amazon thing, and you can do your Amazon shopping through that link. And no additional cost to you, but Amazon, in their infinite mercy, will share just a little bit with the Nerds United production crew, which is me. So happy to have that partnership with Amazon.com. So if you do any shopping on Amazon, I would appreciate it. And so with the good folks at Amazon, Amazon.com. Amazon! All right, that's it. Episode 54. I hope maybe you haven't been informed, but at least hopefully maybe you've been entertained. Leave your thoughts. Drop a comment, Facebook page or on the post. Hit that review on iTunes or Stitcher. Let me know what you think. Even if you hate the show, by golly, let me know about it. I might not take it to heart, but maybe there is something in there that says, you know what, I could do that better. I could do that better. There are a lot of things I could do better. So I don't know how many of them are podcast related, but I could be better at laundry as I sit here looking at the stack of laundry that's grown higher than the basket. So anyway, we'll see you next time in the Nerd Dome. This has been episode 54 of Nerds United, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening. We'll do it all again sometime.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.